and they are all in large measure legacies of the British Empire. Indeed, when we talk about globalization, we really mean Anglobalization. But why was it Britain that did all this? Why not Spain, Holland, or France? Why not India? Why us? In December 1663, a Welshman named Henry Morgan sailed 500 miles across the Caribbean to mount a spectacular raid on a Spanish outpost called Gran Granada. The aim of the expedition was simple: to find and steal Spanish gold, or any other movable property. When Morgan and his men got to Gran Granada, as the governor of Jamaica reported in a dispatch to London, they fired a volley, overturned 18 great guns, took the sergeant major's house, wherein were all their arms and ammunition, secured in the great church 300 of the best men prisoners, plundered for 16 hours, discharged the prisoners, sunk all the boats, and so came away. It should never be forgotten that this was how the British Empire began, in a maelstrom of seaborne violence and theft. It wasn't conceived by self-conscious imperialists aiming to establish English rule over foreign lands, or colonists hoping to build a new life overseas. Morgan and his fellow buccaneers were thieves. When Morgan led another raid against the Spanish town of Portobello in Panama in 1668, he came back with so much plunder, in all a quarter of a million pieces of eight, that the coins became legal tender in Jamaica. That amounted to £60,000 from just one raid. The English government not only winked at Morgan's activity, it positively encouraged him. In effect, the Crown licensed the pirates as privateers, legalising their operations in return for a share of the proceeds. In the European race for empire, the English were late beginners. It was only in 1655, for example, that England acquired Jamaica. At that time, the British Empire amounted to little more than a handful of Caribbean islands, five North American plantations, and a couple of Indian trading posts. Christopher Columbus had laid the foundations of Spain's American empire more than a century and a half before. That empire was the envy of the world, stretching as it did from Madrid to Manila and encompassing Peru and Mexico, the wealthiest and most populous territories on the American continent. Even more extensive and no less profitable was Portugal's empire, which spread outwards from the Atlantic islands of Madeira and São Tomé to include the vast territory of Brazil and numerous trading outposts in West Africa, Indonesia, India, and even China. In 1493, the Pope had issued a bull allocating trade in the Americas to Spain and trade in Asia to Portugal. In this division of the world, the Portuguese had got the sugar, spices, and slaves. But what the English envied most was what the Spanish discovered in America: gold and silver. Envy grew more acute after the Reformation. The Elizabethan scholar Richard Hakluyt argued that if the Pope could give Ferdinand and Isabella the right to occupy such island and lands as you may have discovered or are about to discover outside Christendom, then the English crown had a duty to enlarge and advance the faith of Christ on behalf of Protestantism. The first recorded voyage from England in quest of unclaimed supplies of silver and gold was in 1480, when a crew of optimists set sail from Bristol to look for the island of Brazil in the west part of Ireland. The success of the undertaking is not recorded. The Venetian navigator John Cabot made a successful crossing of the Atlantic from Bristol in 1497, but Cabot was lost at sea the following year. It's possible that earlier Bristol ships had reached America. Certainly, as early as 1501, the Spanish government was fretting that English conquistadors might beat them to any riches in the Gulf of Mexico. They even commissioned an expedition to stop the exploration of the English in that direction. But if, as seems possible, Bristol sailors like Hugh Elliot did cross the Atlantic so early, it was Newfoundland they reached, and what they found was not gold, but cod. It was gold that drew Sir Richard Grenville to the southernmost tip of South America, or, as he put it in his 1574 petition, the likelihood of bringing in great treasure of gold, silver, and